Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us here on 95.7 The Game alongside Lorenzo Neal and Dan Dibley. I'm Joe Fortenball. This is Mornings with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. This show is stacked, absolutely stacked with content, and the NBA is making a serious push at the NFL for off-season intrigue, boys. Like, we just had the title settled last week. You figured there would be a little grace period into baseball, smooth transition, and boom, fast and furious. The news, the action. We've got a ton of NBA stuff to get to. The latest on Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala at 6:30. Greg Pop is going to join us at 8:30. Bobby Valentine, not sure if he's going to have a mustache or not, at 9:30. I don't even want to screw around, boys. This story out of Cleveland is so big, I want to get right into it. So let's begin with Dibs and your update.
And we are just 2 days until the NBA draft, and the free agency lurks around the corner. Golden State does not have a selection, Joe, in either of the two-round NBA draft. They are facing a busy free agency period, though, that'll start likely with Kevin Durant opting out on June 29th after he signs a new deal. The team would look to re-sign Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, and then Steph Curry. Free agency begins July 1st. Stay tuned to 957 The Game for all your updates on the ongoings heading to the draft and beyond on Thursday. Story number two, the A's held down and put away by the Astros.
Axford ready, the kick, it's on the way, and it's swung on a high drive right center field. Brugman going back, Brugman at the track, and he will turn and watch, and it's gone. And George Springer, a towering drive over the wall in right center field. And 3-1 Houston.
Ken Korak, the call here on 95.7 The Game. Three home runs put the A's away. 4-1 the final. Sonny Gray gets the ball against Francis Martis. Tonight, 7:05 first pitch, 6:15 your dugout show here on 95.7 The Game. Story number three, the Giants with a pretty good outing from Johnny Cueto, but it got away from him and then some in the eighth.
This is hit high and deep to right. And this one is not coming back. It is way gone. So that opens everything up.
Dwayne Kuiper, NBC Sports, Bay Area. Now seven straight losses for the Giants. They lose 9-0 at Atlanta. Seven runs in the eighth inning for the Braves. Matt Moore against Julio Teheran today. The update brought to you by Big O Tires. Through July 9th, buy three tires, get one free on select in-stock sets with paid installation purchase. Visit BigOTires.com for details. I'm Dan Dibley. On your home of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors, it's 95.7 The Game.
Never mind the 4.91 ERA. R.A. Dickey is legit. Who we kidding? 9-0. R.A. Dickey, three hits in seven innings? Like, what is this guy? Let me put the Giants season in perspective very quickly. Cody Bellinger, the red-hot rookie from the Los Angeles Dodgers, hit his 21st home run last night. He's got 21 homers in 51 games. Through his first 51 MLB games, he's hit 21 home runs. That is an MLB record. In the last 51 games, the Giants as a team have hit 44 home runs. They've barely doubled up a rookie who plays for the Dodgers.
Wow.
Consider that for a few moments as you look at Johnny Cueto taking yet another loss in a 9-0 blowout. All right, we'll get to more Giant baseball and A's baseball later, but we begin with the Cleveland Cavaliers and the NBA. The best player in the world is on their team. Three consecutive trips to the NBA final. The first Larry O'Brien Championship Trophy in franchise history last year. That's all part of the three-year resume of general manager David Griffin, who's been the acting general manager for 3 years and has been to three finals with the only championship in franchise history. The Cavs dumped him yesterday. They're calling it a mutual parting of ways. Griffin's contract was going to be up in about a week. And even though he was burning up the phones yesterday trying to get some deals done before Thursday's NBA draft, the Cavaliers said, we're going to go in a different direction. Have you seen anything like this ever before? A team that's had so much success dump their general manager in a situation like this?
Never. Especially when you lost to arguably the greatest team of all times, assembled in by the Dubs, that is, to fire a guy who's been nothing but trying to play chess with the Dubs and trying to stay competitive with them and bringing in guys to try to compete with this unbelievable franchise, and then you dump him doing right now when things are heating up. He's on fire. When you look at the Paul George out there, the free agency market, get ready to start, the drafts, get ready to start, and you have all these guys in the scouting report, they all report to the GM, and you say bye-bye? I'm shocked.
According to Brian Windhorst of ESPN, who's been covering LeBron James since LeBron was in high school, LeBron was not consulted on this decision by owner Dan Gilbert. Dan Gilbert made the decision on his own. James took to Twitter after the news surfaced, quote, "If no one appreciated you, Griff, I did, and hopefully all the people of Cleveland. Thanks for what you did for the team for 3 years. We got us one," and then trophy emoji. So you didn't consult with LeBron James. Dibs, David Griffin, general manager, 3 years with this team. Loses in the finals to the Warriors. Beats the Warriors in the finals. You got LeBron James. You're canning your general manager at this juncture.
Well, you're really just making it more obvious on who the general manager is. And it's LeBron.
Come on, Dibs.
Well, honestly, Lo, you think that they would make the moves that they made and be as successful as they've been and not retain their general manager? That makes no sense. All the moves they made, Deron Williams was brought in. Derek Williams was brought in. We never saw him in any of the playoff games. All these pieces were brought in, and they came up short. You think it was David Griffin going in there and saying, get me Deron Williams. He's the piece we need. I think it was all LeBron. And you see now talks that Chauncey Billups and the Cavs have mutual interest in a possible job. I think you're going to end up seeing a guy come in who, by the way, is close with Tyronn Lue. It'll be like a players only. Might as well bring in KG, Joe, and make it just straight players only. Room 21 or whatever that is.
Area 21.
Thank you.
With all due respect,
Room 21.
That was nice.
Room 222 is a show from the 70s, but I digest.
No, but I liked it. But I couldn't disagree with you more, Dibs. I humbly disagree with you because you're a great guy.
There's going to be nothing humble about this.
But you think about this process and you look and say, so do you want to call the Hampton Five then? Are they the coach then? Are they the GM here? Do they make things happen? Because they all got on a plane, and last I thought, they went back and got KD and brought him in. Or now Wes is gone, so was Wes making the decision? So you had five individuals jump on a plane, go get KD, and everyone else and sign and say, no, we got you. You come in here. Draymond in the parking lot said, no, after the game, it's on you, GM. Bring this guy in. And all of a sudden, KD's here. So did those particular players have that type of sphere of influence on the organization? So they're running it too then.
So why would he leave then? If you've been to the NBA Finals three straight times, why would it be a situation where they have to mutually part? And his quote is that Dan and I, the owner, know that the Cavs are a team built largely on the concept of fit and are at the point now where the fit is not right for us. Why do you think the fit is no longer right? Maybe the star player is overreaching with his duty?
I don't think that LeBron is going to go out. If this guy's brought the guys in, LeBron said, if LeBron is working next to that GM in that way, wouldn't it behoove him to keep someone that he can keep his thumb on and finger on that's going to continue to see it his way? Why would you go out and go bring in another person then, and now you got to start that new relationship where the new guy's going to say, LeBron, not on my watch.
Enter Chauncey Billups, a friend of LeBron James, who, according to sources, not our sources, but sources out there being reported by multiple outlets, when he was serving as an analyst for the NBA Finals, was quietly working behind the scenes to get in front of the Cleveland power players, to get in front of Dan Gilbert, to sell himself. Billups is thought of as a very bright mind. I think before Travis Schlenk got the job in Atlanta, Billups was considered for that job, and Billups is a hell of an analyst. watching those shows, I thought Van Gundy and Jackson did a horrible job throughout the finals. But when you got pre and post and the halftime show with Michelle Beadle and everybody else that was on there, I've always liked Jalen Rose. I thought Chauncey Billups was fantastic. I think he can break the game down.
He's
now,
good.
Now, that's as an analyst. He has no experience in a front office whatsoever. But I think him and Bron are boys. And I think it plays right to what you're talking about. Maybe he can control this guy a little bit more.
See, it's interesting that you bring that. That's what I do here.
I don't thrive on interesting.
I know it's a joke, but I just don't see that, especially when LeBron is not going to be, you know, he's talking about him being a mainstay for, what, 2-3 years max? So I think it would behoove the organization then and to really look and see who is going to be here to help build this team for life after LeBron while you're still competing now. And if you're going to do these things, think about this owner. This owner flies by the seat of his pants. You heard some of the things that he said, some of the ferocious statements that he made about LeBron when he left, the mean letter, the things they did burning. I mean, it was hate, pure hate. And now all of a sudden, you're conforming to LeBron. I think LeBron has some power, guys. I just don't think that he's be all and say all.
It's funny you bring up post-LeBron, because what's going to happen over the next 48 hours is going to put the Cavaliers on very thin and perilous ice. We're going to explain that next. Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Wow.
I'll tell that story on air later. I'll tell that later because that's misappropriating a beer bong and using it for
weaponry.
Yeah.
God.
He tipped right over.
I gotta get home.
We'll get into that a little bit later. I want to jump back in to the Cavalier conversation, what's going on in Cleveland. And I want to begin by asking a question. Lo, Dibs, if you knew an asteroid was going to hit the Earth tomorrow and eliminate human life as we know it, would that change how you live today?
Yes.
Dibs.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Pretty fairly innocuous question. I think most of us, if we realized our lives were coming to an end tomorrow, would make big changes in how we approach today. That is exactly what the Cleveland Cavaliers need to do ASAP. That is what the Cleveland Cavaliers have to do ASAP. LeBron James is going to be in town likely one more year. But even if he doesn't opt out next summer, even if he remains with the club, you're staring at what? 2, maybe 3, 4 years of greatness paired right up against the Golden State Warriors, you might come away with nothing. Right now, you need to be shoving all of your chips into the middle of the poker table. Whether it's Paul George, whether it's Jimmy Butler, who they're rumored to be going after, you need to make any move necessary to improve this team. I don't care if it's 3, 4 future first-round picks. This is what needs to be done in Cleveland if you want a shot at winning another title. Outside of that, it's over. And it's going to come crashing down on you in a bad way. The asteroid is going to hit Earth. It's going to hit Cleveland specifically in the very near future. And if Dan Gilbert, the owner, who just fired his general manager, David Griffin, who was only there 3 years and all three resulted in 3 trips to the finals and a title. If Dan Gilbert can't find a way to get another title, I think he's going to go down as one of the worst owners in NBA history, possibly one of the worst owners in professional sports history. Let's take a look at what Gilbert has achieved since he became the majority owner of the Cavaliers in 2005. It was about March 2005. So his first full season as majority owner was the 2006-2007 season. LeBron is going to be with his team, we know, next year. So is Kyrie Irving. So we'll add 1 year to all of this. And here's what you get. Dan Gilbert's going to have 12 full seasons after next season as majority owner of the Cavaliers. 8 of those seasons will be with LeBron James, one of the greatest players of all time. 7 seasons with Kyrie Irving, one of the game's best young superstars. In that time, you've had 3 number one overall picks and 5 top 4 overall picks. You play in a weak Eastern Conference. And if you get back to the finals next year, you'll have won the Eastern Conference 5 times. And you're going to walk away with 1 title. 1 title. All of that. And you're going to find a way to walk away with one title. That's not good at all, for lack of a more impressive vocabulary term. Dan Gilbert, we remember how LeBron left him. He wasn't able to keep him happy in Cleveland. He writes that stupid, immature Comic Sans letter, pouting like a baby. Somehow, some way, LeBron comes back. Not because of him. He didn't do anything to bring him back in. LeBron wanted to come back to Cleveland. He got another opportunity. If all of this ends with just one title, that is a big swing and a miss, because post-LeBron life in Cleveland is going to be like it was on Earth after the asteroids hit and destroyed and wiped out the dinosaurs and everything else. You got nothing. Who are you going to bring to Cleveland after LeBron leaves? What big-time star is going to say, yeah, Cleveland's the spot for me? Process that for a moment. One title in franchise history. One. Nobody wants to go to Cleveland. Paul George right now is already telling people he wants to go to L.A. That makes sense. Durant wanted to come to the Warriors. That makes sense. Who's going to want to go to Cleveland? This is it. If you're Dan Gilbert, you need to shove every chip to the center. I don't care what it costs to get Paul George. I don't care what it costs to get Jimmy Butler or whatever move you want to make. This is it. This could be the final year in Cleveland before the asteroid hits. I know it sounds crazy, but what's the point of having first-round picks 3, 4, 5 years down the road if you don't have LeBron James? You're not going to be able to compete, because while everyone's paying attention to the Warriors, in the Eastern Conference after LeBron James, it's going to be the Celtics. They're already built to contend. Here come the Philadelphia 76ers. You don't think Milwaukee and the Greek Freak are going to cause some problems moving forward? It's all over for Cleveland. You got about 1 year left if LeBron opts out. You got to shove all those chips to the center. Lo, I know we've had this debate before about how much you'd be willing to give up from your arsenal, but if you're Cleveland and you're staring down the barrel of a post-LeBron future, why wouldn't you be giving everything up right now?
I think you have to, and for those reasons you laid out. When you look at Cleveland, you think about what's going on in the East, and you say there's Miami, there's Philadelphia, there's Boston. There's other places in the East that are more attractive than Cleveland. The main attraction in Cleveland is the guy you're talking about, LBJ. LeBron James is the attraction. It's not Miami, where you have South Beach and have other things that have no state tax, where guys and athletes would like to go there. It's the LeBron James show. And everyone who comes through that city, it's about getting a peek and looking at the king. He is Cleveland. So, yeah, you push all those chips to the middle of the table and you say, we're going to make our last stand. We're going to do whatever it takes to bring one more title or do something and bring it to Cleveland one more time. Because if you don't, and once LeBron leaves the building and leaves that community, because we already know if LeBron said, this is my home and I love Cleveland that much, you don't go buy a $21 million house in L.A. You go buy maybe a $5 million and keep it on the beach, and you know, a place you can get away in the winter months to come out here to California.
Rumors surfaced yesterday that LeBron's wife wants to live in L.A. year-round. Those rumors came out yesterday.
You're absolutely right. So LeBron is here. His purpose and what is he serving right now? It's to win titles. It's to be the best that ever played the game. And it's to do it in Cleveland. Why he can still have the functions of his body to play at a high level. Because after that, he's in L.A. for business reasons. So, yeah, you're right. The Cavs and that ownership has to do whatever it takes because their window is closing.
Dibs, apparently the Chicago Bulls are going to want quite a ransom in exchange for Jimmy Butler's services. The Minnesota Timberwolves and head coach Tom Thibodeau, who coached Jimmy Buckets in Chicago, they're in the mix. But the Cavs are trying to work out a multi-team deal to acquire Butler, knowing that the post-LeBron era is on the horizon, whether it be 1 year or a couple down the road. Knowing what you're going to be in Cleveland without LeBron James, especially your value of a franchise, we know it's going to drop a few hundred mil. Would you be willing to mortgage pretty much your entire future for the chance to acquire a star like that now and maybe make one last run at the Dubs?
Without a doubt, because you look at the core right now in Cleveland and it's not good enough to beat Golden State, and you're not going to be able to add a piece like Paul George or Jimmy Butler. Even in the short term, if it's Paul George and it's one season, you're not going to be able to do so and keep Kyrie, Love, and LeBron. The easy choice for Cleveland is the fact that you know who you have to deal, and it's Kevin Love. Kyrie's not going anywhere at 25. Kevin Love, on the other hand, he's a nice player, but he's not good enough to be a part of a championship big three in this current climate against the Warriors and their big four. He's just not good enough. So you bring in Jimmy Butler, you rely on other veterans like Deron Williams again and those kind of pieces, and you try to make one more run to try and get Golden State.
You know what I've noticed? I've noticed that these rumors, the Cavs trying to acquire Paul George, these rumors, the Cavs trying to acquire Jimmy Butler, no one's yelling and screaming about how it would be an unfair super team. Why is that? Why is it that everyone cut down the Warriors when they were pursuing Kevin Durant, but here comes Cleveland pursuing a star player in Jimmy Buckets or a star player in PG, and no one says anything about it? It's strange.
They want to see somebody compete with the Dubs. Bottom line is, no matter who you bring in, Paul George and Jimmy Butler, guess what? The Dubs still would be favored. That's how insane and how incredible this team is. In your opinion, Joe and Dips, who's a better fit, Butler or Paul George?
We can definitely get into that next, as well as the future of both Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala as big news surfaced out of Golden State yesterday. Don't go anywhere. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
You'd almost think if you're going to have the biggest fight in history, you'd get the venue organized before announcing the date. Would you not, Dibs?
Yeah, you'd probably call ahead and say, hey, you guys free on the 26th? No, you know, I'm glad you asked. Ice Cube happens to have it.
You know what Cube's going to do? Cube's going to say, let me perform, dog. I got that. Give me some money. Give me some bread. I'm going to come in hot and drop the mic on.
He's going to say, why don't you go ahead and pay for the entire first year of my fledgling 3-on-3 league in one check, and then I'll gladly move my event to Mandalay Bay.
Welcome back, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. We've talked about Cleveland and essentially the just absurdity of firing their general manager. He was the general manager, David Griffin was, for the last 3 years. All that really resulted in was a trip to the NBA Finals, a trip to the NBA Finals and a win, and another trip to the NBA Finals. But he and the Cavs are no more. Part of this is in direct response to the Golden State Warriors. Had the Cavaliers been able to get by the Warriors this season, they probably wouldn't be in the market for major front office shakeups. But this is what happens to organizations that aren't exactly buttoned up, is the term we like to use around here. How do they handle business in San Antonio over the last 20 years? You've got an owner.
Clockwork.
Who hires good people and lets them do their job. In Cleveland, you don't have that. You have an owner that meddles. You have an owner that thinks he knows basketball as well as anybody else. And he doesn't. And he makes rash decisions. And we've seen it time and time again. And this is why Cleveland, despite everything they've been gifted over the last decade plus, is sitting on just one title and getting ready to look at the post-LeBron James future. As for the Golden State Warriors, big news regarding two key players. Let's start with Kevin Durant. Sources reporting yesterday, and Chris Haynes, who had the story for ESPN, he's going to join us at 9:15 a.m. this morning, reporting that Kevin Durant will opt out but is expected to immediately re-sign with the Golden State Warriors. The only thing you need to know about this is that Durant will be taking less money. That's what he's doing. He's opting out so he can re-sign with the club for about $3.5 to $4 million less to help keep players like Andre Iguodala. LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, Anthony Davis, Derrick Rose, Marc Gasol, Kevin Love, LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin. Those are all top 20 players in the NBA in terms of salary. None of them have ever taken a pay cut. So when you want to criticize a guy like Kevin Durant for leaving Oklahoma City, when you want to criticize a guy like Kevin Durant for joining the team that beat him in the conference finals the year before, put your money where your mouth is. He's stepping up and taking less. Everybody else is getting theirs, and there's nothing wrong with that. But can you continue to criticize this guy, Lowe, when he continues to make smart decisions, selfless decisions?
You can. And I think that's why the Dubs look at this guy and you think about what he's been able to do for the organization and for the team. And that's win championships, the things that he brought to the table. You can't replace that. And for this guy to say, you know what, I could go on the market and I could go anywhere that I want. I could be the mainstay and the staple player anywhere in this league besides probably the Cavs in Houston. I mean, not Houston, but San Antonio, and I'd share that. I could share being equal everywhere in the league, and I can go somewhere and be a star anywhere in this league, but I'm going to decide not to because it's about winning championships. That's why I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and I'm going to take a pay cut to bring in guys that is going to help me in my cause, in my pursuit of winning more championships. People can't say anymore that I haven't won a title. And if he was selfish, he could say, you know what? I did what I needed to do. I won my title in Golden State. Now I'm going to go and go build another franchise. But no, I'm going to take the path of least resistance, but I'm going to make the sacrifice financially to get what I want long term, and that's more championships.
Dibs, Durant is doing his part to try and keep the core, the key components of this team intact. However, according to sources who spoke to The Vertical, Woj's website at Yahoo, according to sources who spoke to The Vertical, Andre Iguodala plans to, quote, seriously consider other teams in July when free agency opens up. How big a concern is this for you at the moment?
Not a great deal of a concern, honestly, because when you look at it, and I think Andre will do the same, the difference financially, while it's probably a lot of money in the real world, you're talking $3 million a year over 4 or 5 years, 12, maybe $15 million. For a guy like Andre Iguodala, who's already made over $100 million in his career, I don't think it's going to matter as much as being able to stay with a team with whom he's comfortable, be able to play the minutes he wants to play, keep his children in the excellent schools that they currently attend. Everybody's happy, and you're on a winning team. Do you really want to go elsewhere for an extra 12 to 15 mil, uproot the family, just so what? You can get an extra 7 points a night and maybe cement your Hall of Fame status? I don't see it.
The article continues, and this is a quote, "There's a belief that the value this summer for a two-way wing such as Iguodala could reach $20 million
He's out.
Annually.
He's out. Andre won't be back.
You think so?
I know so. Without a doubt.
Take us through it.
If the Dubs are able to only pay this guy $7 to $8 million bucks, or let's just say $10 million. Let's just say he's gonna make $10 million and Dubs say, you know what? Andre, we know what you are, and this is guaranteed. Well, basketball's guaranteed anyway. And so we're gonna give you $10 million or $11 million or $12 million. And he can reach $20 million, he's a fool.
He made 11.1 last year.
I'm telling you right now. He'd be, and honestly, in all due respect, and you know, Andre, he's a smart guy, a phenomenal player, and he's a good person. The guy, he's smart. I mean, I've met him in the locker room and talked to him. He goes, yeah, Neil, I know you. As I watch you and LT get busy, you know.
How's that make him smart? Just because he watched you block for LT?
Smart guy. He's watched the best that did it. Anyway, since I digest.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point. So, pretty sharp this morning, you are.
So, you know, when you talk to a guy like that and he understands different things of sports, because a lot of guys just know their sport. They don't necessarily stay as versed and, you know, diversified as other athletes do. So when you look at him and just look at his demeanor, the things that he says, he's a witty guy. He knows what he's saying. But he's also an entrepreneur, and he gets his shelf like. He understands he has made sacrifices. This guy's got two NBA titles. He's been on this team, has played the Backman, played the Robin, played the Joker, saying the villain, I don't care about not starting. I know it's the Hampton Five, but he's put his pride way in the back. And he said, you know what? He's been back there. So if Andre can get $20 million, which you're talking about out there, compared, and that's a $10 million difference, and you do that for 3 years, that's $30 million. He's not getting the endorsements that Steph and Clay and Draymond and freaking KD's getting. He understands that. It would behoove Andre to take his services, and I'm a Dub fan, and I like the Dubs, but I'm going to tell you right now, he's crazy if he stays, bro.
He's not getting 20, so I mean, I would dispel that notion, that rumor. He's not getting 20, coach.
When the Mozgovs of the world get 16, you don't think someone out there would pay $20 million a year for Andre Iguodala, what he brings to the team?
Not at 33. I don't see it. 33 years of age, this is likely his last contract. Now, if he's getting 15 to 17 a year, okay, and the Warriors can give him 10, now that's a conversation. I honestly don't see him getting 20. The guy got 4 and 48 from the Warriors this time around. Prior to that, he signed a 6-year, $80.5 million contract with Philadelphia. At what point is enough enough? And I understand, Lo, $20 million, $17 million, that's a lot of cake, but so is $10 million. And the idea to be around a group of people that you already know you gel with,
I got you,
and you don't have the pressure of being the man. You're the fifth best guy on the team. You don't need more than 28 minutes a game.
I don't give a
See
damn about
June.
No pressure.
That's, well, you do if you're all of a sudden the second highest paid player in fill in the blank.
No, you don't no more. You said the man's 33 years old.
So you're saying he's going to take the money and go ride it out?
Well, I'll tell you what he's going to do.
At 33 years old, that's when the man that laid down. I mean, that's, Christ died at 33 okay. and a half years. You knew I was going there. But anyways, though.
I'm not sure how factual that is.
33
Do you have carbon dating?
Old.
Seriously.
33 years old. He doesn't care anymore, Joe.
No, he cares. You know, I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. He's going to chase a ring. He's going to Philadelphia. He's going to chase a ring to end his career. That's what Andre Iguodala is going to do. Back to the Sixers to chase a ring. Because here it's over. You're not going to be able to get back to that big three in Philadelphia that's played a combined 32 NBA games throughout their careers.
You are hot about this. No, I know you joke around. You see it coming. You see
I don't see anything coming. I've been bamboozled by this team for a decade. Don't give me
not
that.
Not a year.
Don't give me that. I moved out and I moved here for a reason. I was chasing rings. I came here to chase rings. I don't know what the hell they're doing there. They got a baseball team that's 40 games under, 60 games into the season. I don't even know how that's mathematically possible.
Philly's got some new young talent, and they're going to be okay in a couple
years. They'll be a fun watch. Right. At the very least, they'll be a fun watch. But here's a question. The Warriors have swept the Bay Area. Fandom, excitement, championships. The Raiders are a team looking to generate that kind of excitement. They've got a big-name player in Derek Carr they're trying to sign. Do you think it's possible Reggie McKenzie and the Raiders, in their negotiations, say, Derek, if you want to win rings, take a look at what Kevin Durant's doing for the Warriors. We might need you to take a little bit less so we can facilitate the signing of better players. Is it possible that will come up in negotiations? That's coming up next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I think my youngest brother is trying to kill me, by the way, in case anyone's curious. Joe, Lo, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. He texts me yesterday and he goes, did you get a package from me? I write back, no. If I got a package from you, I probably would have reached out and acknowledged you, whether it be a thank you or a question. But sure enough, the package shows up that day. It's a grocery bag-sized compartment filled with gummy worms.
What?
Like, you trying to kill me, man? Because I don't have restraint when it comes to that stuff. You open that up, I'll sit there and eat them till they're gone, or till I pass out, or till diabetes sets in and I die.
He knows he loves gummy worms. Let's look it up.
Send a small regular size pack, and we could all go on living. You should see the size of this thing. Just sitting there. And every time I walk by it,
it calls your name.
It's addiction. It's right. I don't even want to eat them, but I feel compelled to reach in, grab a couple, throw them down. I'm going to rot my teeth out.
Well, why don't you bring them to the job here, and we'll have a couple?
Yeah, but you guys are dieting, man.
We'll eat a couple gummy dips. We'll eat a couple.
No, dude. Gummy in, gummy out. That's a no for me.
It's a hard pass from Dibs.
Gummy worms and corn. Two things I don't eat.
I eat corn. I love corn.
Corn in, corn out.
All right. I made a mistake with this conversation. I'm going to bring it right back. No, I'm sorry. We're moving on. I know exactly where you're going to try to go. Please stop.
Thank you.
I know exactly where you're going to go. It's too early for that. People are driving around. They're trying to survive. Just trying to survive.
People who ate corn last night.
It's hot out there. All right. Kevin Durant has opted out of his contract, which is good news for the Warriors, good news for Warrior fans. He's going to re-sign with the team, but this avenue is going to free up $3.5 to $4 million for the club to pursue individuals like Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, what have you. We'll get to more on that in a few minutes. We'll take your calls as well, 888-957-9570. But interesting thought. If you're the Raiders and right next door, the Warriors have won 2 titles in 3 years. People are talking about dynasties. You're the most exciting game in town. You can't help but look at what KD's doing and think, we're blessed with our own big three. We got Derek Carr. We got Khalil Mack. We got Amari Cooper. We got a ton of talent around the board. But in order to keep this thing together and win titles, we're going to possibly need some help with the salary cap. Do you think Reggie and the front office could sit down with Derek Carr during the ongoing negotiations for their franchise quarterback and say something like, Derek, we definitely want to make you the highest paid guy in the sport. But sometimes it comes down to whether you want every last dollar or whether maybe we can keep a little bit more in the coffers so that we can keep the Gabe Jacksons and the Khalil Macks and the Amari Coopers of the world. Build this thing out and try to win multiple Super Bowls. Right next door, Kevin Durant's doing it. Don't you want to be like Kevin Durant? Could you see a team using that as negotiating leverage low?
I can, and they will. And I think the Carr's comment's going to be, I don't give a damn about no Kevin Durant. He made that money. Look how many years he's done it. With all due respect, Reggie, I'm making $900,000 this year. $900,000.
Can't eat on that.
And so it's relative. So everyone's talking about the exact. You know where I'm going. So people are like, oh, well, yeah, he should make the sacrifice. Kevin Durant, like you talked about Iggy, has made hundreds and hundreds of millions. Carr hasn't. He's barely made enough to buy a couple cars. So when you look at his numbers in that retrospect and say, when someone says, well, look, Kevin's taking $4 million less. Well, you know, I wasn't making $3 million a year. I'm not making $5 million a year. I haven't been making that kind of money. I've been making so less amount of money. You can't put me in that and ask me those questions. That's like I was telling you guys, when Detroit, and I was a free agent, Detroit, San Diego, and all those things, there was one, San Diego was like $1 million difference.
San Diego's offering you $1 million more than another team?
Yeah.
Okay.
So everyone says, that's nothing. It's $1 million. You make money. Why would you? Hell no. I'm taking the more money.
Much to the chagrin of everybody.
But you see why, though, Dibs. You would do, if you're in my position, you would have took the money, too. You would not have stayed.
Depends. Depends on how much I've earned versus how much I can earn.
Okay, and that's my point. For Carr, I'm telling you, Carr's in that same situation this first time around. He is not going to go ahead and take some great discount because he hasn't earned it a lot. And everyone's like, well, these guys, they don't understand. They are not going to take these huge discounts. That's just not how the game, because they know at the end of the day when the game's over, they're going to chew you out and spit you
out.
That's
right, especially your game in football, you know, not guaranteed. I think that what he could do is take a more team-structured contract to where the money's the same. Maybe he gets more guaranteed up front, and the back end is such that they'll be able to spend more money on Amari Cooper when he comes up and when you got to pay Khalil Mack and Michael Crabtree and all these pieces that you need. Gabe Jackson, when he comes up, if Derek takes more up front or structures it to where the team can have some relief on the back end, that's a different story than a straight-up discount. And in football, I know that that's much more the way they do things. If you want to be, quote, team-friendly, you can structure it on the front end a little bit better.
Put it like this. The way contracts are done in the NFL now, not rookie contracts, deals like this, they're all two-year deals with a series of team options moving forward. That's pretty much how all deals break down these days. Two-year contracts with a series of team options for 3, 4, 5, and 6, those years, right? How often do we go through a free agency period where we see 20, 30, quote, big names out on the market signing these deals all over the place? And then we talk about how, man, the Miami Dolphins just made a big splash. Danelle Ellerbe, the guy who filled in for Ray Lewis, they went out and signed him. They went out and signed Mike Wallace. Look at what the Dolphins are doing. And then 2 years later, they're trading him away or they're cutting him outright. That's how deals are structured in the NFL now. Now, for a franchise quarterback like Carr, it'll be a little bit more player-friendly. But that's generally how the NFL works. You're going to hear about five-year deals and guarantees and what it's worth in the first 3 years and X, Y, and Z. The reality is that most of these deals are two-year deals with a series of team options moving forward. That's how it's structured. What it's going to take to break that mold, what it's going to take for the NFL players to get to be like MLB players or NBA players is the first guy to go through the brick wall and say, you know what? I don't need 5 years and $125 million. I don't need that. That's $25 million a year. I'll take $20 million a year. 4 years, $80 million. I'll take that. But what I want is the entire thing guaranteed, like in the NBA. That's what it's going to take. It's going to be a quarterback that has to do it. And every general manager in the league is going to call the general manager on that specific team, and he's going to say, do not do that deal, because that's going to change the game. That's what it's going to take. An Andrew Luck, a Derek Carr, a franchise player to say, instead of the 6 years, $25 million per that pays $125, no, maybe my math's wrong now. I don't know. You get what I'm saying. You'll take $5 million less a year, but you want it all guaranteed. No NFL team's going to want to do it because that's going to change the game. But that is what one of these guys eventually should do if you want to break it, if you want to break the system. Because look at what Paul George is doing right now. Paul George is able to completely dictate his future. NBA players pull the strings for everything.
It's crazy.
Could you imagine an NFL player 1 year from the end of his deal, like a DeSean Jackson or a Michael Crabtree, coming out and saying, you know what? I want to tell you all right now, I'm not coming back and I'm going to Arizona next year. So just so you know, you can figure it out. The team would look at you and be like, we don't care what you have to say. You're under contract. Yeah. And then if you don't play, we're not trading you.
Yeah, we'll franchise your butt. You ain't going nowhere.
You hold out, you ain't getting paid.
Right.
Exactly. We can franchise you. Exactly. It is so shield friendly. It is so league friendly. These guys in the NBA, man, they call their shots. They form their teams. They go where they want.
And that's what's crazy about it. The NFL dibs should be more like basketball, meaning of the fact that a player can tell a guy, hey, I'm not coming back this after this next year, and say, so you might as well try to trade me now. It should be like that because the shelf life of NFL players is not long. Also, they get cut. Also, it's not mostly guaranteed contract. They should have that flexibility like basketball does, in my opinion.
It'll never happen, though, because you're dealing with 46 versus 13 active on game day. And of those 46 people, how many of those players are fans really coming to see? Three or four?
But
additionally, the impact that one guy can have in a basketball team is far greater than even the quarterback. One guy can only have such an impact on a football team. He's not playing on defense, so I think that factor also favors a guy like Paul George. If you get him on your team dramatically improves just by one guy coming over.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. That's why football, because you have, like you talked about, having 43 guys, but you're right, those elite guys, when them being able to call their shot like that, it can determine Super Bowls, win or loss. You go get Von Miller, and he tells Denver Broncos, oh, by the way, next year I am leaving, so you might as well try to trade me or whatever because I'm not going to re-sign. Von Miller on certain teams will change the outcome from winning a Super Bowl than losing a Super Bowl. So one player can determine that in football.
Be sure to check out the website, 957thegame.com, for today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. It deals with the following topic. Is Derek Carr a better quarterback than Drew Brees? I'm not asking you to draft one of the two right now. I'm asking you to tell me, which quarterback is better, Derek Carr or Drew Brees? We bring this up because NFL.com's top 100 players, which is the way the NFL fills content during the down months, it's very compelling, it leads to a lot of debates and conversations, has reached a point where the only players left to be named are the top 10. They release it in sections. So it'll be like players 80 through 100, players 50 through 75. Players 11 through, I don't know, 20 were released, I think, last night. Derek Carr, number 11. Number 11, Derek Carr, the 11th best player in the NFL. I believe the people who vote on this are NFL players. They're voting for their peers. This is very good news for Derek Carr because you can take this right into the front office and say,
great news.
I'm considered the 11th best player in the NFL, and Drew Brees, who's making, what, $25, $26 million a year, Drew Brees is ranked 16th. I'm five spots better than Drew Brees. You better pay me five spots better than Drew Brees. Could you imagine that leverage right now?
Wow.
Now, you know who else is ahead of Drew Brees? Brees is 16. Dak Prescott is 14. I think that really hurts the credibility of this article. Quite frankly, these rankings, I think the entire structure is jeopardized when you put Dak Prescott 1 year, two spots in front of Drew Brees, Hall of Famer, who's won a Super Bowl.
Well, this clickbait, Lo.
Yeah, I'll do it.
It's just clickbait. Seriously.
It's classic clickbait.
Prisoner of the moment. Oh, right. Dak Prescott. Let's put him in the Hall of Fame right now.
Come on.
Just get him right in the can, kid.
That's a joke. And Derek Carr, I love tremendously.
Right.
He's not close to being better than Drew Brees.
And it's okay to say that. It's not a shot.
Yeah.
Derek has a bright career in front of him.
Oh, he's going to be unbelievable.
Drew's already achieved so much. How do you rank him behind Derek Carr?
Is it speculation? Because right now, if you said which quarterback I want, I'm taking Carr because of
his potential. That's not the question. It's top 100 best players. Is Carr a better quarterback than Drew Brees?
See, I don't think this is true. I think they're doing this purely on what they see far as long. Because no way. I don't know. How can these players do that?
They're trolling you. They're all trolling you, Lo.
They are.
And you're falling for it.
I did.
Now you're all twisted up. We're going to bounce for a minute. When we're back, it's all about the NBA, and we want your calls on what's happening in Cleveland and what you think the future holds for Andre Iguodala. 888-957-9570, Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.